Welcome to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland, broadcasting from the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me from his office at Samford Hospital is oncologist and cancer researcher Dr. Stephen Powell. Dr. Powell, thanks for coming back on the program today.
Thanks for having me again.
So you're a part of a team of researchers that has made a discovery and a recent publication. So let's start and talk about this drug that helps with chemo patients.
Yeah, the study was a study evaluating a drug, olanzapine, to be used as a combination therapy with other nausea medicines to prevent nausea from chemotherapy.
And what kind of a drug is it?
So olanzapine was originally designed as an antipsychotic, so it was meant for patients with schizophrenia. And over the years, newer versions of this have come out now, and it still is used in schizophrenia, but many have noticed that it's actually a really good drug for nausea prevention. So now there's a lot of research looking at repurposing this old drug as a new nausea preventative drug.
So when you call it an old drug, how old is an old drug?
Over probably 10, 15 years old, I think we've been using it for schizophrenia for at least that long. For nausea, really, they've started only using it for the past few years.
And how do you learn as a researcher? How do you know how drugs for one purpose can be used for another?
Sometimes we know just on how the drug works. Different ways it works in the brain. So this drug acts on different neurotransmitters in the brain. These neurotransmitters transmit signals in the brain, and this drug will block that. And sometimes these signals can be bad, and they can cause nausea. Sometimes they can be bad, and they can cause psychosis, anxiety. So as we learn how these drugs work, we can learn different ways to use them.
So talk a little bit about chemotherapy and nausea and all of the side effects that go with it.
So whenever we give a patient chemotherapy, we look at the chemotherapy regimen and determine, is this a high-risk regimen? There's certainly regimens that cause very high risk for nausea. There's some that are at what we call moderate risk and some that are low risk. This particular study looked at the very high-risk combinations of chemotherapy. In fact, the most commonly used chemotherapy regimen was the most common regimen we use for breast cancer, a regimen called AC.
And so talk a little bit about the study that you were involved with.
So this study was part of the National Cancer Institute program. So the lead author on the study, Rudy Navari, it was out of Indiana University, developed the study. And at Samford, we're part of this NCI Community Oncology Research Program, so we have access to all these NCI-funded studies. And as part of that, I was asked to be the community co-chair to help serve on the study, to help promote the use of the study throughout community sites like places in South Dakota. So the NCI funded it and ran the study across the country, but the Sioux Falls and Fargo sites were some of the larger sites participating in the study.
And you said it's mostly for breast cancer patients right now?
About three-quarters of the patients on the study, this study, were breast cancer patients undergoing AC chemotherapy, and this would be standard chemotherapy when they're going through curative intent treatment. And then probably the next largest group of people that were on the study were patients with lung cancer getting a drug called cisplatin.
Okay. And talk a little bit about some of the things that you've learned during this study.
So I think the biggest breakthrough of the study was the main finding. And when the way they scored determined how well this drug worked is they decided it was basically yes or no. It was, did you have nausea or not? And for most people, probably about 60% of people that get these chemotherapy regimens, no matter what we do for nausea prevention, the majority of these people will get nausea. When we added this drug, only about a fourth of people got nausea, some degree of nausea, by adding this drug. So there was a pretty substantial improvement in stopping nausea altogether.
Hmm. Will this then become the norm, or are there other side effects you have to be concerned about?
So the biggest side effect of these drugs in the short term is they can make people fatigued or tired. The way the study worked is you only take the drug for 4 days. So it's just a brief period of time you have that fatigue and then it goes away. What is being done right now is, now that the study is positive and we're seeing this effect, we now have very strong evidence to support the use of this as standard of care. So we, as oncologists, follow national guidelines on how to use these medicines. These national guidelines are going to start being changed so that this drug will be recommended to be used as nausea prevention with these types of chemotherapy.
And is there a lot of red tape yet to go through to change the standard of care? Does the FDA need to get involved, for example?
Not necessarily. The drug is not FDA approved for this indication, which means that the drug company didn't decide to go to the FDA to ask them to approve this. And part of the reason why is it's generic, so it's now widely available. For years, we've actually been using this reactively for nausea when people get nausea as a way to treat it. So it is definitely something we can use now. Now we just have strong evidence to support using it earlier on to try to stop nausea before it starts.
So you give it to them before the chemo?
Yep. So the way it would work is when somebody comes in for their chemotherapy, the day they get their chemo, they would get a dose of this drug in addition to their standard nausea medications, and then they would take it at home for the next 3 days.
And it's a pill form, or it's a IV injection as well?
You can get it in different formulations, but the form used in this study and that we commonly use is a pill form.
And how willing are cancer patients to be part of these studies?
I think it often depends on the type of study. This particular study, I would say many patients are very willing. I think that in every patient's mind when they go in for chemotherapy, one of the top things at their list is, am I going to get sick? Am I going to feel nauseated? So when you offer a potential new option that's going to cut back on that nausea risk, I think many patients are interested in that. I think, you know, anytime you're introducing a new drug or a novel treatment, people are very interested in that. And in general, I would just say the people in this region, in South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota, are very open to participating in research, because at the end of the day, they know it's not necessarily just something that's going to potentially help them. It can help people down the road years in advance. So,
what kinds of other studies are you involved with right now?
So I am mainly focused on clinical trials. So I'm trying to evaluate new drugs that are going to help patients either treat their existing cancer or help augment their response to therapy. And the main focus I have is on immunotherapy and in genomic therapies. But we do also have a large number of these studies where we're using these supportive medications to help people through treatment.
Now, we've talked in the past about the Cancer Moonshot initiative, and where does this type of research fall, this type of information fall in helping that?
So I think, in my mind, I'm biased, I'm more interested in the clinical trials here. I think clinical mm-hmm. trials should be the biggest part of the Cancer Moonshot. I think that we make many breakthroughs in the lab. We find things through our basic science, but we struggle to get that into clinical practice. I think clinical trials are your portal to get access to these newer therapies, and that's really where we need to focus our efforts, is bring clinical trials to patients so they have access to these newer treatments earlier on, and they don't have to travel long distances. So I'm hoping that's where the Cancer Moonshot goes, is that it brings us more clinical trials to places like South Dakota.
And South Dakota is in a position, would you say, to participate in that more than making the big discoveries?
I think we're potentially in the position to do both, and I think both is going on. Certainly here we have a very strong lab research. We have NCI funding here that supports our laboratory research, but I think really our strength in this region is delivering clinical trials to our patients and really growing that. The program that this trial came through was our NCI Community Research Program. We're one of 34 places in the country that offers this. So we have access to every National Cancer Institute-funded trial through that. And I think that's important, because as a patient, you want to have these options available to you, and you don't want to have to travel to places like MD Anderson for it.
Everyone is offered here.
Yep. So every large NCI trial can potentially be opened here in South Dakota because of this grant funding.
So that's a bonus.
It's a huge bonus. You talk about grant funding and these awards, but you think about, what does it do? At the end of the day, it just increases access. And I think, in my opinion, everybody should have access to clinical trials.
And are all clinical trials designed to have the placebo effect as well, so you don't know what you're getting? Are they all blind trials?
No, so there's different degrees. So this study that we're talking about here did have a blinded aspect of it because they needed to really objectively know whether or not people were having benefit from this olanzapine or if it was just a placebo effect. Many of the trials we run actually don't do that in cancer. So when we're talking about cancer treatment, the vast majority of cancer treatment trials do not have a placebo because in cancer you don't want to give placebo. You want to give an active treatment. So many of the trials will have, well, you're just guaranteed the drug. Sometimes you're not guaranteed the specific drug they're looking at, but you might get another drug that's known to be active, and that's used as a comparison. So there's many, many different types of trials, and I would say in cancer, it's not common that we have a placebo trial.
Okay. Well, Dr. Powell, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Thank you.